Podtacular episode 114, Halo 3 beta community for the week of May 21st, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm Tally.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yes. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. You're going to be gracious with your presence.
Oh, well, you know, what can I say? You ask and I come.
So, Telly, how are you involved in the Halo community?
Well, my other gamer tag, of course, I have so many of them, is Indian Princess, and I am a cave girl. I am also involved in various other activities and a gamer chick as well, so.
Sweet.
So I pretty much do a little bit of everything.
Can you tell us a little bit about cave girls and gamer chicks?
No, absolutely. The cave girls and the gamer chicks are both all-girl clans, while the cave girls is a clan, and the gamer chicks is more just a female gaming community. Don't have to play any certain game, but of course, the cave girls focus mostly on Halo.
Yeah,
and quite Halo 2, right? Yeah, Halo 2 right now, but we're very excited about Halo 3.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we're here to talk about.
For sure. Yeah, so this is kind of the show where we're talking about people's responses to, or people's opinions and such of the Halo 3 beta. We're talking about things like tips for the Halo 3 beta, tales from the foxhole, and just kind of overall impressions of the beta from, you know, people that have checked it out and listened to the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last week was our opinion. This week it's the overall community, so should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
let's get started. Off here.
I'll do this one. This is by Shadow T-Bone's friend. I was just playing the Halo 3 beta at my friend's house. His gamer tag, Shadow T-Bone. He goes, here are a few things that he knows. Shotgun has 5 shots. Spartan Laser is like Hammer of Dawn in God of War, but better.
Gears of War.
Yeah. I knew that. I was just testing. I was testing you guys. Spike grenade, new plasma, and regular grenades are sweet. And you can stick with spike and plasma. You can detach the turrets stationary, not the Warthog turrets. Big gun that shoots rockets, missile pod. He goes power ups, grav lift, bubble shield, kicks buttocks, power drainer, which we all love. Wait a minute. He goes, what he says here? Okay, veto system is when you push X to veto the map that you are playing. And let me see, 5 out of 8 votes get you on a new map. Leadler is one-handed and is very powerful. Mongoose is very easy to kill and no turrets on the back. And SMGs are useless. Not necessarily. If you do dual SMGs, they're pretty effective.
Yeah.
One thing he did talk about that we've been doing a lot lately this weekend is the veto system. Unfortunately, Valhalla is too big for just 8 people, and we've managed to get a lot of team territories and single bomb on Valhalla, and it's a good map, but it's just with 4-on-4, it's too big, and the game gets boring real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the veto system does work.
It's like trying to play Coag and Team Slayer. It's too much area. It's a great map, love it, but it's just not functional.
Or even Coag 4v4 CTF or Assault. That gets really, you know, it's like in matchmaking when that pops up, you know, what are you going to do? Nobody ever scores. So it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those groaner ones where you get it and you're like, ah, you know, you groan a little bit and kind of whine about it, but, you know...
Nice groan.
It's the best one I've ever heard. Sold. We're going to use it on every show.
It's like, it's Podtacular number 18. I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, one thing that I would want to specify from that part of thing, it's not vetoing the map necessarily. You will occasionally get a different game type if you're playing in Team Skirmish. They do appear to be independent variables, but you could get a new game type and a new map, or one or the other.
Yeah. Hmm. Regardless, it's a pretty cool feature.
It's pretty darn handy.
Yeah. So let's somebody go to Logan Payne.
Well, Logan Payne says, the beta is awesome. From the smallest things like the new lobby has a cool globe of Earth rotating behind it. Yeah, we were trying to figure that out, actually, at first, because it's not like, you know, an exact, it's not like a NASA view of Earth. It's like this dark blue with the white lights and things like that. At first, it was like, what is that rotating? And then, you know, then you could see some of the continents and stuff, and you could realize that it is actually Earth, but it looks pretty funky.
Yeah, I thought it was Earth from a space view, and the illumination indicated, you know, firefights, you know, like fire and stuff. Or maybe that's how the planets look when they're glassed. I don't know.
I wouldn't necessarily think that that's going to be something that they keep in there forever. This is just a beta. They're just putting placeholders in a lot of the UI. Yeah. They're trying to get the function down, not necessarily the pretties.
Yeah. Well, it does look cool. It's just that it's a question of, you know, what is it? Why is it there? But
mm-hmm. I guess
we'll wait till the game comes out to start talking about stuff like that.
Yep.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's something to keep in mind when we're talking about all of these features.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he, let's see, he says, the equipment only reaffirms that our money September 25th is going to be well spent. A tip I have may save you frustration on high ground CTF. He says, as the attackers get a mongoose with the driver and someone riding shotgun, then move up to the far left until you get to the gate. Turn right, and you should see a hole and a bunker driver in there. Let's see. You should see a hole in a bunker. I'm a little confused by his language here.
Yeah.
I guess he's saying drive in there, and you can get behind the gate, darn close to the console that opens the gate. Before the defenders know what their plan is, the gate will be open, and that choke point will be gone. If you have the shotgun as a defender, you can hide behind a wall near the flag next to the laptops. As soon as the flag is taken, you can run out and deliver 8-gauge Magnum justice to the thief who took the flag.
Well, I have a strategy that I've been doing since the very beginning of the beta. On high grounds, what I'll do is I'll go all the way to the left where the invisibility orb is at. Mm-hmm. I'll grab that, run to the grav lift on the left side by the cave. And then I'll crouch walk because, I mean, the Spartan laser is usually looking at people coming out that cave, well, whatever it's called. So I'll crouch walk, have people, you know, do their thing and use them as decoys. And then I'll jump in with the grav lift and open the gate. And most of the time I can actually grab the flag and move it out a little bit before I die. And that pretty much, I mean, I've scored twice by doing that and actually grabbing it, opening the gate, grabbing the flag, and walking down. Of course, my teammates were backing me up, but, you know, that was like before in the very beginning. So, you know, that's one strategy you can use.
Yeah, I use a variation of that. I grab the invisibility as well, and I go through on the left side, except I go in underneath the bunker, head all the way around, down underneath, all the way around, in through the back.
Yeah.
Like where they're spawning, and come at them that way, and they never really see what's coming.
I know.
You know, there's usually one guy in there, and you just, you know, just take him out, and you're good to go.
I'm surprised. You know, there's a lot of people that still don't utilize that bunker.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a choke point on the left side where there's that opening up top, and I keep telling my teammates, guys, use the bunker to get in. You know, if I can't open the gate, you know, I try to go in the same way because, I mean, they either have two choices, defend outside or defend, you know, that area where the bunker is at.
There's also so you're kind of putting this.
Yeah, the tube. If you can get there.
Yeah, it's a haul.
I mean, I like to stay under the pipe, and you know the guy will drop down, and you know I throw a nice little spike grenade on him, and he dies.
Yeah. How handy.
If they don't have anyone waiting there, you know, one time I was actually defending, and I was waiting at the other end of the tube, and I noticed that I saw some red dots further up, and then they disappeared. So I'm like, okay, they're crawling through the tube. I'll get them as soon as they come out. But the thing is that if you wait until they come out, then and you know that they're in there, then that could be problems because when they come out, they have full mobility and they actually have a they have the high ground over you a little bit. So it's hard to hit them with grenades, and they can hit you with grenades. So I sat there and waited for them to come out, and then I got killed. You know, even though I was the one defending, I knew they were coming. So, if you see that someone's going in there, jump up in the into the tube and throw a grenade at them, because then they
Or simply crouch and hide underneath, and when they jump, their back is to you.
There you go. That's a good idea.
So,
the other thing is, if you spike grenades spawn right by there.
Yeah.
They're very effective. They'll blow up before they get all the way out of the pipe. That's what I actually did in the game right before I was playing. Came here.
Sweet. I love it. The more I play it, the more I love the spike grenades, man. Yesterday, two different games. It was a sequence of sticks where I stuck one dude, then Captain Crunk came running at me. I stuck him. I mean, it was beautiful.
Nice.
So yeah,
very cool.
I'm actually much of a fan of it. We ran into Captain Kronk a few times in matchmaking when it was still just friends and family, and I don't like it when he's not on my team.
He's good, huh?
Yeah.
I can either be the competitive gamer, or I can be the casual gamer. I think I ran into him when I was in the midst of being a casual gamer, so it was a little. I was like, oh no, they're actually going to kill me.
No. All right, so next one is Red Channel.
Go for it, Tally.
Tally, do it.
Okay. Well, I'm very impressed at how the beta plays. Everything about it feels right on point. What I was most impressed of was the lack of auto-aim while playing. When I achieved a headshot in Halo 2 with the sniper, most of the time it felt artificial and cheap. What I mean by that is the crosshair in Halo 2 always seemed to stick to other players' heads. In the beta, whenever I achieve a headshot with a sniper, I feel as though I actually earned it. The spike grenades are the best. Love them. Mm-hmm. They really seem to fit with my playing style. The graphics didn't really bother me at all, although a lot of people are still complaining about how bad they are. I was actually quite satisfied. It is. I was actually quite satisfied with them. My only true wish for the final game is for Bungie to add an awesome glass-shattering effect when one gets shot in the face with a sniper. It would be so satisfying to see glass shatter from the enemy's helmet and think of what his buddy's reactions, the other teammates might have.
Reveal what's under the glass.
Yeah.
No, but do you notice the sound it makes when there's a headshot? It sounds like somebody shot through a freaking watermelon.
Oh, really? No, I didn't
notice. Yeah, next time listen to the audible. I mean, to the audio, and you'll hear a distinctive squishy sound when you get a headshot.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I really think the audio in this game, I mean, even though it's just the beta, there are a couple little buggy things about it, but it really is top-notch. I mean, the gunfire and the distance, amazing. So good.
Yeah, and I had a little brief write-up, and I said that the audio was the highlight of the beta because, people had mentioned that the sounds in the distance were artificial. And no, they're real-time, and, you can tell which direction gunfire is coming from, whether it be a SMG or a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. And that adds a lot to, trying to survive. I mean, I've heard sniper, rounds coming at me, and I was able to hide simply by hearing where it was coming from.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely...
Yeah, it's very reactive.
What's cool is how they sound like gunfire would sound at a distance. They don't sound... at all like close up gunfire. It's the way that it muffles and distorts the sound over distance. That,
yeah,
that really makes it feel amazing. Realistic and sound very cool.
Anyway. Yep. Okay. Kyle says one. Kyle, he says, I was just recently playing a game on Valhalla with Kikamanjaro. It was a lovely game of Team Rockets. Oh, I hate Team Rockets.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm right with you.
Me being the experimenter of the group, starts throwing the mines into the man cannon. Oh, I love doing that. Well, there are about three or four. It's Team Rocket. Okay, scattered around the map. I was then surrounded by three big and burly men, and I shot my rocket and missed. I stayed alive somehow to hear betrayal, betrayal, betrayal. Turns out I killed half of my team. The best part is I got negative feedback, and my rank went from apprentice to recruit. Yeah, that's something I've been running into, man. Some people, even I did it, you know. I've been able to, you know, throw a grenade or whatever into the man cannon, and it'll launch. And I missed, and it just landed right there. So I'm screaming, guys, don't go into man cannon. Don't go into man. And boom, this guy without a headset, yeah, he goes running straight into the man cannon, and boom, betrayal. So,
you know, I was noticing that actually just setting a trip mine inside the base. Just saying, okay, hey, everybody, trip mine in the base, left side. Do not go in from that entrance. You will get exploded. And of course, you know, next thing you know, betrayal. And it's like, dude, what did I just say about the trip mine? Oh, sorry, I forgot.
The best is when, like last night, I was playing with Nelson from Achievement Junkies, and he was running after me in Valhalla by one of the side turrets, and I threw the I had thrown the mine previously, and I swore he walked over it. It didn't blow up, so somehow he managed to spawn close enough to attack me again. Mm-hmm. So I go around a rock. He jumps around trying to counter me. He lands right on top of the landmine, and he jumps straight up in the air. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
I've committed suicide way too many times by forgetting that I, like, maybe launched a trip mine through the man cannon, you know, and it's out in the field, and then I just jump in it, and I'm like, oh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, that's another tip that I've noticed. Some people will try to determine where the opposing team will land when they go through the man cannon on Valhalla, and they will place a mine right there if they can get close enough. So that's something else you guys can try.
Good idea. Hey, I got a question. You know how in Halo 2 you could jump and you could actually control your movement in the air slightly as you're after you jump? Can you do that in Halo 3? I haven't tested it out.
Like what? Like
you can change your direction in midair in Halo 2 slightly. You can't do it as much as you can on the ground, but you can actually, you know, move around in midair with the left stick.
I don't know if I haven't noticed because it's just. Maybe it is the same, and I just haven't noticed because I'm so used to doing it. Mm-hmm. All I know is that in this game, I can somehow jump better. Like, I have more control over where I jump and more maneuverability when I'm in a, like, one-on-one fight. So maybe there is, and I just, you know, since I'm so used to doing it, maybe it is there. I don't know.
I feel like I can. I'm sticking. Not that I'm sticking, but like I'm staying. When I jump on something where I'm really close to the edge, like that one, you know, in Valhalla, you've got those two high areas on the right on the sides of the map where a lot of snipers use like to stand. There's the one at the hill, and then there's the big rock.
Yeah.
Well, I have a tendency to fall off that, and it feels like I can stick to it a little bit better. Like, if I start falling, I'm going to be able to stay up a lot better than I would normally.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's as much as it was in Halo 2, I don't know.
Yeah, that's something I'll definitely pay attention to when I'm next time I get on the beta. All right.
Okay, so, well, moving on. We got a lot more here. Got one from Xnoth, who says, so far the beta is like Halo 2 on steroids, which in my head is great. All three maps are great, but I was a little upset that you couldn't create your own game or just make a game for two players on the same 360. But the fact that you can bring in a second player for matchmaking is definitely cool. Another annoying thing that keeps happening to me is that it takes a really long time to find a game. I can't join any other friends' games because it tells me some sort of weird computer networking lingo that I can't understand. And the first day I got it, the start matchmaking sign was faded out because there were too many people online. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not one to go crazy at Bungie like everyone else with a Crackdown mishap because they didn't have to do this, but if you're going to come out with this demo, you must know that there are going to be many people playing at once. But otherwise, from what I can play, was phenomenal. Graphics were great, and so were the new weapons. So far, on a rating of 1 to 10, I would give the beta a 6, okay? But everything was great, it's phenomenal, I give it a 6. But I'm not but I'm not going to jump to conclusions like everyone else who hates the beta. I don't know what this guy's deal is. And think the initial game is going to be like this, because it isn't. Remember, this is just a test to see what players like. That is what Bungie does. And, you know, okay, first of all, they never said they always said that it was just going to be matchmaking on the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The purpose is not to see what players like. In fact, they've said basically that they're kind of ignoring what feedback they get because they consider it the vocal minority. So, you know, anything for the most part, they're not really concerned with what people think about this side or the other. Which is kind of good because I don't want them to, you know, be like, you know, blowing back and forth in the wind kind of on changing their stuff all the time. And, you know, I mean, things, if they get enough feedback, I'm sure they'll change something. But in any case, the purpose is to test matchmaking over with heavy load so that they don't get, you know, the kinds of problems with heavy load they've been having already.
Yep, it's a stress test, so we all got to remember that. I mean, I often find myself kind of forgetting that it's a beta that eventually, on June 10th, will be gone. So, I mean, we all got to remember that and cut Bungie some slack. Yeah, you might have problems with graphics, you might have problems with matchmaking or whatever, but this is a test for something specific. And quite honestly, they didn't have to release it. So just enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, and they want us to break it. That's the whole thing. They want to know what doesn't work and what isn't going to work under the enormous stress, you know, of matchmaking. I mean, they're trying to find the glitches. They're trying to find all these things that they know people are going to find anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's really cool. But one of the words he used in there that it's important not to remember that it is not a demo. This is not trying to demo any of the work they've done. They're just trying to test it. And this is what a beta test is. And there are very few games out there that are like Halo in the scale. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they would say, you know, and they would do something like this. But it's really an awesome opportunity for us.
And there have been instances where people have cracked certain things in the beta, like the supposed article I read at, I believe it was the XboxFanboy.com, where they said they cracked into the beta and found a custom game menu, and they found all these, you know, a full list of different game types, weapons. So how true it is, I mean, I don't know.
That one actually is true.
Okay.
Although I would not recommend that you go try find this. Mm-hmm. This is not something that they wanted to have out there.
Absolutely. The thing that did excite me a little bit, and that sounds funny. Anyway, was the zombie type game where you're the Flood. You know, one team's Flood, one team's Spartans, and that was something that we've all been speculating for a long time.
Yeah.
And there is an actual achievement for that type of game type. So I'm glad to see that they kind of took that from Perfect Dark, which is you know, that was a great game type for Perfect Dark.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was also I can't remember. There's another. Shoot, I can't remember the name right now, but there's another Xbox game that did a similar thing. That was a first-person shooter.
Alright, so next, moving along. Xenos, he says, Hey, Pontac. Xenos here. Well, anyway, I got into the beta via friends and family. Well, I started up Halo 3, and on my third or fourth game, I got paired up with Captain Crunk and JVB. We played the game through. And then we partied up. I used to listen to Podtacular back when Spellcheck was still a co-host.
Spellcheck?
But I hadn't listened to, I haven't listened since then, episode 50 or so. Well, seeing those two made me decide to come back. Well, welcome back. Now I'm back and playing with everybody. Okay. Keep on fragging trucks, Xenos out. Yeah, it was funny. It was me and Captain Crunk, and I hear somebody saying, hey, you guys are from Podtacular, and Captain Crunk was like, yeah. So, you know, he told us a story about how he used to listen to us before, and, you know, we goofed on him a little bit, like, oh, why'd you stop? So yeah, it was cool to meet somebody who, you know, decided to come back.
Right on. Well, good stuff. Let's see. Tally, you're up next, right?
Yeah. Well, JVB, the first game...
Tally?
I was going to say the first game that you and I played together, we got matched up with... Who was it? It was Maester and...
Yeah, it was like, Painkiller and Meister. I mean, it was a bunch of them.
Very first game. Man. It was great.
Because I knew we were going to get rocked. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And we really did. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Never so much fun getting your ass kicked.
All I kept hearing was, hey, JVB, how you doing? Boom. And then I die. So, next time you say hello, at least give me a few kills, you know?
Hey, it's not fair.
You're going to have like a super high rank because people are like, oh, it's JVB, man. Don't kill him. It's JVB.
Yeah. Look, here, JVB, kill me, man. Come on. You can do it.
Yeah. You're killed by JVB. Yes.
It's like an achievement. You were killed by JVB.
Oh,
sweet. My point.
Well, that one, you'll get negative points. Negative 50.
Well, tell you're up on the Hawk 442 here, right?
Alrighty. I'm sure I echo almost everyone when I say the beta is great. The new graphics look quite different from Halo 2 and appear more glossy and shiny. It makes things more real and have more depth, as well as just looking cool. The new weapons also pleased me. All the weapons are finely textured and look phenomenal when in action. Although I wish there were a couple more maps in the beta, everything I've seen so far in the beta I've been very happy with. Can't wait to see what else Bungie has planned for the retail version. P.S. You guys should bring the old welcome back music from episodes 11 and 13. That would be cool.
Welcome back, Carter?
Yeah.
Is it that song? Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that.
I'm not so sure that would be the best idea.
It was cool. It just eventually did kind of get old.
Speaking of the graphics, on Snowbound, there are moments where I actually reminisce about that commercial, the Halo commercial, when they first showed the bubble shield. You know, it was all CGI. But there are moments where it kind of, remember in the end when he jumped down where all the boots were at?
Right.
That's all in-game graphics, because there are moments where I can see where, you know, the exact same graphics and everything, you know, the lighting and just the way it makes everything, you know, look, you can't say real, because, I mean, after all, it's a damn Spartan who's 7 foot tall, you know? Running around in a 1,000-pound suit. But the lighting and the textures definitely brings a different aspect to the beta itself. I can only imagine how the single play is going to look.
They say that it's going to look a lot better, but, you know, like on Snowbound, when you're looking in the cliffs and you see the ice and that kind of thing, and it's really, really, really good job. You know, on the graphics on that. People keep saying, well, you know, it doesn't look anything like Gears of War and all that kind of thing. Well, this is a completely different aesthetic. Mm. You know, it's not meant to be, you know, in the Renaissance era. It's in the future space era, you know, for the art and that kind of thing. And there's, you know, there's a destroyed quality, but it's destroyed in the past tense kind of quality rather than something that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are always complaining about the graphics and comparing it to Gears of War. But Gears of War, you look at the game and you think about it, you feel claustrophobic. You know, it's kind of linear because you can only go in certain places with Halo, at least with the beta. I mean, it's just so big. I mean, look at Valhalla. Mm-hmm. You don't see nothing like that in Gears of War. I mean, it's a totally different art direction.
Right.
And, you know, they mm-hmm. take advantage of certain things by limiting others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can see nice buildings, but you can't go in them.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to compare it to Gears of War. I mean, Gears of War has this, like you're saying, it's a completely different aesthetic. Gears of War, everything's trashed. And that's, you know, for me, I can appreciate the, you know, the level of detail that goes into the whole thing and how there's definitely areas that look beautiful in their own way. But in a lot of it, you know, I look at it and it's like, dude, this is a dump. Everything's trashed, man. You know, I understand that there's an aesthetic to, you know, to destroy beauty kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, it is, you know, kind of all torn up. And I'd kind of like to see something that's good graphics that isn't torn up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can appreciate that about, you know, about Halo, that things aren't all trashed all over the place and still look good and have a pretty good level of realism, you know. And another thing mm-hmm. is, like, if you compare the weapon models in Gears, as far, not the models themselves as much as the lighting effects and things like that on Gears versus Halo, it's a big difference, man, on Halo 3.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Halo wins that in that department.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the guns look real. I mean, there are some that look a little
sci-fi-ish. You know,
yeah, but look at the battle rifle, the SMG.
Yeah,
those two guns. I mean, with the lighting and everything, and even the shotgun.
Yeah,
I mean, they look pretty slick.
Definitely. Well, yeah, let's move on. We got a lot to cover here.
Yeah.
Who's all right? Next?
Jurassic. All right, Jurassic DL3. He writes to us and he says, even though I never registered for the beta or pre-ordered Crackdown, I have seen Halo 3 beta videos, and I think that the Halo 3 beta graphics are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what Halo 3 graphics would really be like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Out of the three maps I have seen on the videos, I like Valhalla since it's a Halo classic map and looks greater than the image... than the first two versions of it. The only tip I have for you is that I bet you may be able to get past the turrets and maybe not kill you if you have the overshield. Take a dose.
He's giving us tips from someone who's never played the game.
Yeah, I mean... he must be talking about the turrets on Snowbound, because those are the only automatic turrets that will kill you. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking about Valhalla, those turrets, those are manned turrets, so somebody has to actually be on them. And you can dismount them, which are quite deadly. I mean, those things are deadly, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't played it, I mean, by going off the video, I mean, it's a little different than watching it on video. But we do appreciate you writing.
Yeah, thanks.
And hopefully mm-hmm. you get in because you're missing out, buddy. But thanks a lot, Jurassic DL3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried to get past those turrets. I actually know the person who programmed them.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get past the turrets, but it didn't happen. I can get pretty far back, but I can't get anywhere that would actually, you know...
Yeah, I've
do anything.
I've accidentally gone there with a sniper rifle. I just kept backing up and backing up because somebody was shooting at me. I was trying to... you know, get a headshot, and I hear this, like, siren going on. I was like, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, if you go really, really slowly, you can back up and stand straight in front of one. You mm-hmm. can back up pretty far, because it's going to notice the movement, but it's designed to do that. So that if you are sniping from out the way, you know, if you get beyond further than you mean, if you, as long as you've gone slow, you won't get killed.
Yeah.
Interesting. Ah, there you go. Snap out there.
You can, but you have to be very careful. Yeah, and then the times that pretty I get caught doing sense, that, it's not by the one I'm standing right in front of, it's by the one next to it. Because if you go into, like, it's all like a circular radius.
Yeah.
So they're, yeah.
The turret's
tried.
Like, aha!
Yes. It's like, aha, I found one.
Well, I'll take Jay Burton since.
Go for it.
Didn't continue. Jay Burton, 90, sends one in. One day, I was playing on Valhalla. We spawned in the base, and I immediately picked up the trip mine. Earlier that day, I found out that you could send one through those man cannon thingies. I added that little thingy there anyway. So I proceeded to do so. Then I went into the man cannon and hung around by the Spartan laser spawn. When a warthog comes barreling over the hill and starts to flip sideways straight into the trip mine that I had thrown through the man cannon. Ended up getting a double kill off it.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Those are pretty gratifying. a common strategy I use when playing one flag, capture the flag, CTF, on high ground is to use the bubble shield right as I take the enemy's flag. I will usually drop it in the center of the area, take the flag, then jump into the bubble shield. If nobody's around, I will take the flag straight through the bubble and into the gate. If there are people shooting me, I usually sit in there and wait for the noobs to come in and try to kill me. Most people do not know that the flag now has one kill hit. Doing that once got a single, then double kill because I just beat them down.
Nice.
Yeah, another good thing about the bubble shield is that you don't even have to stay inside of it. You could just throw it down and keep running, and they can't shoot through the bubble shield. So it'll still be used as a barricade of sorts. And then, you know, of course, they can go right through it and run after you. But for a few seconds, you know, it'll prevent them from actually shooting you while you're running down right. The hill.
Yeah, especially if you're at a choke point, like at the gate in high ground, and you drop it right at the gate. The open gate there, then they can't really get around it as easily as they could if it was in the open field. So.
Yeah. Another thing with... I did this yesterday with the portable grav lift in high grounds. I was going for the base, and I did one of tally strategies where I went around where they spawn. So I was like, all right, let me mess with these guys. I mean, we were getting rocked. I mean, we couldn't penetrate their defense. So I threw the portable grav lift, and I just launched myself in the air and then landed right on the flag, and I picked it up, and they're like, where the hell did it come from? And I mean, I died right away, but I mean, you know, I figured that could be something like if timed right and there's people to actually help you, I mean, you can do that and just like kind of like mess their heads up for a little bit.
Sweet.
Yeah, another thing about that portable grav lift is it's actually useful as an offensive weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
If I'm in a firefight and somebody's running at me, you know, and I'll go out there and just pop it down right in front of them, they'll fly up. Oh, yeah. What the heck? Their aim is all off. You know, as long as you've got a carbine or something, you know, you just pop.
Yep, all with a vehicle. All with a vehicle. If a vehicle's coming at you, throw that grav lift and whoop.
Yeah, they go flying.
Yeah, because, I mean, one time my dead body, I died and my dead body just kept floating. Yeah, so it'll you know, lift something up pretty high.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to the next one on Merc Savage. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is what I think about the beta. Bad things first. Number one, the TeamSpeak thing with the D-pad is stupid, and why don't they just allow everyone to talk to each other without pressing any buttons like all the other 360 games? What do you guys think about that?
I have no problems with it. I know a lot of people do, though.
You and I are going to have to take this outside and fight about it, JVB.
I remember you were complaining yesterday.
It was my pet peeve. I can't handle it. I really think that it needs to be switched out with either the left bumper or the X button. I talk a lot during any game. I mean, you guys both know that. I'm either whether I'm, you know, in a more competitive game, I'm saying where stuff is and that kind of thing, or whether I'm, you know, in more of a situation where I'm just trying to tell my teammates that there's a bubble shield party going on. You know, it's just, it's not functional. It's a broken feature, in my opinion, where, you know, you're making me stop moving to talk.
Right.
But the other thing about that is we're never going to have everything on all the time. It's just a bandwidth issue. They're not going to make it happen. You know, it's a 16-player game. You know how Gears of War is on all the time. But that's a little bit different because you're only on with your own team. There's only mm-hmm. four of you. There's never eight of you. They don't have proximity speak.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different situation. So I would just like to see it moved into a functional place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is a bit inconvenient because it's the finger you usually use to control your character. So you're only putting yourself in danger if, you know, you need to, like, I don't know, call for help and, you know, you mm-hmm. really can't do that. Or, hey, I'm near the flag, you know, run in and, you know, distract them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've gotten used to it in the short time that I've been playing it because I don't know if you've noticed when you try to hit, you know, out of habit, I've been hitting the D-pad to talk when we spawn and it kind of gives you a buzzing noise.
Yes.
Which has scared me quite a few times. But, you know, that indicates that you can talk, you know, at a certain, you know, proximity without having to use it. It's just when you're far away. But, I mean, obviously there's a reason why they want the other team to hear you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, they figured it gives you some kind of tactical advantage, you know, by lying and saying, oh, I mean, in Halo 2, I used to, you know, crouch and be like, oh, I'm on top of the base. And once in a while, somebody will run on top of the base looking for me, but I'm downstairs and like, move in, guys.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's the one where they actually do hear you saying something tactical and they, you know, they get an advantage because of that.
Yes, so. Yes.
So. I mean, the proximity speak, I think, is something that makes it a lot more realistic as a game. You know, you wouldn't go, if you're sitting right, you know, right next to the enemy bunker, you wouldn't go, hey, guys, I'm over here, you know, nothing like that. So,
yoo-hoo,
yoo-hoo, come get me, you know. This.
I've done that.
You wouldn't yell, hey, come, you know, they don't know I'm here.
Yeah.
That you would, you know, it's not something that would happen in real life. So that in that way, I think the gameplay makes it a lot more challenging, a lot more interesting. It really makes mm-hmm. your strategy, you know, you have to think about how you communicate with your team. But I do know that with competitive teams, you're always constantly speaking. You're constantly talking to each other and mm-hmm. learning to location and talking about your strategies and really, you know, where those other teammates are. And it's just this particular feature isn't functional.
Well, hopefully I don't.
You can't tell it's really a passionate point for me, can you?
But I mean, it on the original Xbox controller, it was the white button.
Mm-hmm. Which was your right hand.
Mm-hmm. So, in a certain way.
So you can do either one.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in that aspect, you still had to take your hand off, you know, your control stick mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. speak. So, I mean, I don't know if it's more of a, you know, getting used to something that you've done for, what, 5 years almost? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, not with, I mean, I'm counting Halo 1 as well, but 3 years, and maybe it's just, you know, getting out of that habit. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got big hands, so
My hands aren't that big. I have to, like, physically, I'm moving my whole right hand over to use that. You know, I'm not taking it off the controller times. Completely.
I'll just move my thumb over from my right hand and use that as, you know, if I'm moving with the left hand, then I'll just pull my thumb over from the right hand and hit the D-pad from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to move my hand, you know, and then I have to move my hand back to hit anything else. It's adding more time. It's just, it's really frustrating.
it's only like an inch away from the right stick to the, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an issue that, I mean, one of the main issues people have, so, I mean, it's kind of good to talk about it.
Yeah, true.
I guess, yeah, it's really just something that we're kind of, like, lobbying for the choice. You know, just give us an option.
Well, I remember I was in a game, and somebody said, well, why don't they have you press the right, left and right bumper buttons at the same time talk?
Oh, that'd be good.
Except that's a possibility.
You can't reload and
yeah, that's the only thing, you know.
And all that.
You're like, whoops.
Well, hey, let's we got a bunch more from Merc Savage here. He said, the assault rifle isn't that good, and everybody just uses the BR or carbine anyway. I kind of tend to agree with that myself, but then I tend to go for those weapons.
Yeah.
Well, I had somebody who would be in the position of knowing that weapon well teach me how to use it in the very first days. And the trick is to always aim at the head and use short burst shots. Mm-hmm. If you do that, it's very effective, and while you're going to have to use your grenades if you go up against a battle rifle, you know, when you're spawning or something like that, it is actually quite an effective weapon when used properly. But no, it's not a battle rifle. It's not an SMG. It's kind of a little mix of the both.
Yes, it is. And yeah, I mean, there's times where I'll just stay with the assault rifle for most of the game and get my kills like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely good to have that weapon along with a long-range weapon.
Yeah.
So if you get a battle rifle and that, I mean, you're pretty much set. Because if you let that go and then they come at you in close quarters, I mean, you're pretty much screwed.
Right. He says...
I think it's a good sign of a... Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think it's a good sign of a starting weapon that maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are reluctant to give it up. I don't like putting my AR down.
Yeah, and that's a good sign because, I mean, you have the option of sitting back and you just using that weapon, or you can go for the, you know, more long distance weapons. You don't start out with an SMG and you know, pretty much, you know, you're hopeless. I mean, at least you have some muscle behind you once you spawn from the get go.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to worry about, hey, you know, don't take all the weapons, save me one.
Yeah. Well, he has a few more. He says the Needler is too powerful and should have less firepower. I kind of disagree with that. I think it's useful for once. And
I love that stupid thing.
Yeah, me too. I had a triple kill day. Yeah, man. I just sat down, crouched, waited for some dudes to come at me. Mm-hmm. Took them out one at a time.
It's a great supporting weapon, too, if you've got a guy with a Needler and a guy with a BR or a carbine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You just flood them with needles and then just... one, two shots, and you're off.
Yeah. Or you can counter the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a good thing.
He says the Warthog and Mongoose flip way too easy if shot by rocket, brute shot, grenade, etc.
Oh, man. Well, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting shot by a rocket after all.
I mean, when my car gets shot with a rocket, it just blows up.
Well, you obviously don't have the right car, JBB.
At least you don't have the tracking rockets anymore, you know. It just ruined vehicles altogether.
Yeah.
I personally think that the vehicles are a little too what's the word I'm looking for here? They've been dumbed down a lot. I think they've been dumbed down a little bit too far. But that's my opinion. I don't know if they'll actually care about it, but it's too easy to kill somebody in a vehicle. You shouldn't be able to put 3 BR shots in a guy and have him go down.
Yeah.
Well, the Mongoose, I guess they want to kind of balance the speed of the Mongoose and the maneuverability of it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're out in the open. So, yeah, you can die easily. I mean, it's not that easy. I mean, there was one team in a Slayer match in Valhalla, and they had a 8-0 lead because they were just driving around in the Warthog, and it took forever to kill them.
Wow.
Yeah, I just got owned like that last night. I guess you are kind of right with the Warthog. It's just it is a little frustrating with the Mongoose that it's just so
weak.
You know, if they see you from it, doesn't matter where on the map they see you, if they start shooting at you, you could just go down.
Yeah, you just gotta. It was funny. I had a guy with a bomb on the Mongoose, and we're going to the other base, and we, you know, there's a little there's a little ramp type structure on the top of the hill in the middle. And he's like, go, go, go. And I mean, we're driving like right through the defense and he's like, go, go. And all of a sudden he stops talking. And I go in the base and I'm like, and I see the bomb like way behind me. I'm like, what the heck happened? And they just, you know, eventually killed him. So yeah, it's, you know, not that bad week.
Well, a couple other ones he said is that the missile pod is way too weak. It's only good against vehicles. It's very inaccurate when trying to shoot a person. Well, I don't say it's too weak, but it's definitely weak and only good against vehicles. Which is, I think it's kind of nice because the only thing that can track vehicles is that thing that really screws you up because it makes it hard to move and you only have so many new things and you can't do very well against, you know, against anything but vehicles. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I know a good strategy in Valhalla when you're doing single bomb, you can actually sit there with the missile pod and guard the base, and it's quite effective. I think that missile pod is more effective against against a human opponent in close range, even though I've managed to like injure somebody, like take somebody's shield down from a little bit of a distance. But yeah, like in close proximity, it's pretty dangerous. I mean, it's not that worthless. I mean, if it was easy to aim, you know, you'll have two missile launches, and we don't want that, you know.
Yeah. Well, he says that sometimes when someone quits, the game is stopped, and only a few people stop playing, and then the match ends. Needs a better blue screen.
Yeah, I think there's some issues with lag. I don't know necessarily whether it's the fact that the Bungie servers aren't correct and up and running completely for as many people as are playing, or I don't really know, but there's something definitely going on.
Yeah, things lag out occasionally.
Yeah, that's expected.
Well, he says a few good things too. He says the first, there's no auto aim, so it takes more skill to use a BR carbine or sniper anyway.
Exactly.
I think a major improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, a major improvement is taking away a feature.
Well, there is a little bit of auto aim. There's not a lot, but it's definitely slight. Better than Halo 1.
Yeah, there's a slight auto aim, but yeah, not too much.
Yeah, big improvement over Halo 2, definitely. The Spartan laser takes a while to charge up, so it's balanced, and the fact that you can cancel the shot at the last second is helpful in case any ally gets in your way, definitely.
Oh, yeah. And it should be noted that in your way also includes behind the person you're shooting at.
Yeah,
because it goes right through anything. The deployables are handy, especially the grav lift and the bubble shield. The energy drainer is okay, but you put yourself at risk when you deploy it. It's mostly effective if you're above a group of enemies and you drop it on top of them. That can be true.
I've had a double kill while dying, and I had deployed it, and they killed me, and then they ran through it, and it blew up.
Oh,
so. Yeah, I mean, it's effective if you time it right.
Yeah. Let's see. He just said a few other things, like, one of the things he says, no X glitch is like BXR, BXB, double shot. Yes!
Yeah, so well, there was a YouTube video somebody had posted on Particular. Supposedly, they had the BXB glitch there. Somebody had told me that they can do rapid reload by tapping Y twice. So,
well, it's basically you start to reload the button or start to reload the gun, switch to your other one, come back to the other one, and you'll have the, you know, the full ammo pod. And there are a couple of things that I know that they've left in that they call power user options features, you know, that are really tough to use. I don't know if that's one of them or not, but it definitely is possible.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's do one or two more, and let's wrap it up here.
All righty. Tally.
Okay. Let me get back in. The good things are, well, we went through that, didn't we? Impulsive Ninja says... Can you really be a ninja if you're impulsive?
I think I want to kill someone right now. I want to go kill someone.
okay. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It was just an impulse.
Sorry.
Okay, first of all, the gameplay and balance of weapons and power is extremely well thought out this time. You actually get that feeling that you're a superhuman cyborg with mad skills, yo. The spiker grenade would possibly be one of the best weapons out there. I mean, it sticks to everything. And the grenade throws are so much easier, but it's not so easy that it doesn't require skill or just raw luck. The beta in general has been a huge success. I've heard things about, it sucks, the graphics aren't awesome, or why is it so glitchy, this is stupid. Well, one word for those who say such blasphemy, beta, it's just a rough copy. That's what this is for, testing kinks and wrinkles in the program. Now, on to tips, which there are a lot of. let me read through these here real quick. Tip number one, control the Spartan laser. Which one? Yeah, your team is pretty golden. Don't go out by yourself unless it's Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Three, don't get caught without grenades. Which is actually very true. I cry when I don't have grenades. Fortunately, exactly. They're peppered all about the map. Yeah. But you can only carry two of each one, so it's important to get a little variety.
Yeah. It's kind of wild about how it's like it's been raining grenades recently. You know, they're just everywhere.
Yep.
I think that's about it. And that one looks good. He mentions a few of the new medals, sharpshooter, that kind of thing, sniping spree, which is a pretty stellar medal to get. It's fun because on that fifth kill, you can get like four medals all at once. I did one game, I had a sniping spree, a sniper medal, a killjoy, and also death from the grave because I died as well. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, I'll go to SGO Lone Warrior. Mm-hmm. He goes, this is SGO, NGO. And here's my input on the beta first. Holy stuff! The graphics, kills Gears of War graphics. And second, holy stuff again. This game is really fast as hell. Seriously, I thought it might be a little slower and tactical because of the deployables. But no, when I first started my match, I was killed in 30 seconds. Okay. He goes, we as players of the beta soon learn new things, not just about the game, but also how to get people really pissed at you. He says he sent, you know, everybody in his friends list invites who didn't have it. yeah, I mean, I remember the first night I was on and people, you know, I mean, it was friendly, you know, stuff talking, but...
Well, I think a lot of us had been getting these invites for a long time and weren't able to respond, so it was really wonderful to just pass that joy along.
Yeah, I know, right? He goes, out of the three maps, Valhalla is the best, and for those who disagree, I don't care. You don't count, and I will hit you with a squirrel belt. I think the man cannon is cool, but very risky because there are sniper rifles conveniently located right underneath. All the weapons seem more balanced and stuff, so I guess I approve. He goes, now for my tale from the foxhole. This one comes, okay. He had a multi-captured a flag match. Wait a minute. There's no multi-capture the flag match, is there? I've only played one capture the flag. Anyway, it was a CTF game. He was riding Brokeback on the Mongoose with the flag and some stuff head that sniped people out of the man cannon. We sped over the hill, and at the same time, I pressed the melee button. I hit the stuff head and got an assassination for the first time in history. A drivable with the flag has been achieved. A drive-by with the flag has been achieved. Thank you. No autographs, please.
Did he get to play Capture the Flag on Valhalla?
He didn't say what map it was on, though. He just said it was CTF.
But he did say man cannon, though.
But have you ever gotten one? Yeah, and there's no... If you have to play Capture the Flag on Valhalla, I'm going to be really upset because I want to play Capture the Flag on Valhalla.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, that would be a perfect ABA.
That would be so much fun.
And he said multi-flag.
I know, multi-flag. That's just not in there.
What is he playing?
Nah, he goes, keep on
trying. Play his beta. I got a better one. You can take mine back to the store. Excuse me, sir. You gave me the wrong beta.
He goes, keep on fragging toilets and stuffy meatloaf piles.
Nice.
Thank you, Lone Warrior. Yeah, on the Mongoose, I had the flag, and somebody came running, came at me with the Mongoose, and he hit a rock, so he had to try to back up, and right off the Mongoose, I meleeed him with the flag.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that was gratifying.
Cool, man.
You can do a lot from the back of that Mongoose. You can throw grenades. You can you can just do pretty much anything you want. It's awesome.
Yeah, I tried sniping. It was a little difficult. Particular forms. I've been trying to set up some Mongoose races. So I don't know how that's been going, but you know, something I would definitely like to try out.
Sounds cool.
I think that would be fun. Start at one end of Valhalla and head out down the canyon to the last and see who gets to the water first. Yep. That'd be great.
Yeah. Really. Speaking of the Mongoose on Capture the Flag in High Grounds when you're on offense, I've done it a few times where I've taken the Mongoose right through the right side where, you know, there's that little opening, and then I've driven it from the top there and then jumped down with the Mongoose and grabbed the flag. I mean, it's good for laughs. You know.
Nice.
So,
well, hey, let's start to wrap things up here. Before we do, we have a review from Riz Pablo of Aegis Wing that came out just recently. That was the one that was offered for free on this past Wednesday. Very cool game. Riz has the details for us. Let's get to that.
What's up, everybody? This is Riz Pablo again to talk about the new Xbox Live Arcade title that came out this week. Solitaire came out this week, but I won't be talking about that much since Aegis Wing came out, and it's free. It was developed by three interns at Microsoft and tweaked a little bit by Carbonated Games to meet the standards of the Xbox Live Arcade marketplace, published by Microsoft Game Studios. Its genre is a 2D side-scrolling sci-fi shooter in space. It's kind of like a 2D shooter with a 3D feel, and it's also free. Alright, so this is a really cool game to make free on the Xbox Live Arcade Marketplace, because the cool thing is, the more people that have it, the funner it is to play. Because when you're playing by yourself, it's almost impossible to beat, you know, just the first level on normal. I couldn't do it. So then I went into the multiplayer, immediately got into a four-player game, and proceeded to have an awesome time. The cool thing about this game is, if you've ever played Gauntlet, it's kind of like Gauntlet, except with space and spaceships. So you've got, you know, four-player co-op, and they're all heading in the same direction after the same objective, and you know, you've all got guns and you're all helping each other out. The way the game acts and plays and is built is pretty classic. You've got you know, your health bar and your power-ups, and you've got to shoot all these enemies, and at the end of the level there's a boss. But there is a little feature in the game that sets it apart from all other run-of-the-mill shooters. In this game, the four-player co-op I mentioned, it's really nice, because the more people you have, the better it is to play. Well, reinforcing this, there you can hook up with your teammates to form, you know, like double spaceships. Like, if I want to hook up with Bob over there, then the two of us together, he drives and I shoot. He can still shoot, but it only goes in one direction. But now I'm like a turret on his spaceship. And so you can hook all four players up to form, you know, like a Voltron Power Rangers giant ship, and that dominates everything. But there is a drawback of it, because it's harder to, you know, fly around, because you've got this giant ship and you're more vulnerable to fire. Merging the ships really adds a whole new element to the game, because you've got to make decisions. You know, if you're low on health, do you want to merge and take the risk of having a crappy driver? Or do you want to stay on your own and have more agile, have it be up to yourself, you know, be less susceptible to fire because your ship is smaller? Or maybe your strategy is to merge all the ships and start using your power-ups together and, you know, feed off each other. Because the cool thing about the power-ups in this game, well, the first off, the power-ups in this game are, there's this Hades beam that kills everything in its path. There's the Gordon Burst that is an EMP that blocks all these bullets and also disables enemies, but you still have to kill them. There's an Arcus missile that are giant, that there are missiles that just follow enemies no matter where they go and basically kills them. It's like an automatic win for you. And then there's the Lambda shield, which bullets cannot enter your shield. And the cool thing about it, about merging your ships, is when you merge them and start using your power-ups, like let's say I use the Lambda shield, then nobody can hurt us. And let's say my friend Bob over there uses the Arcus missiles. Then we've got, you know, missiles killing all these people while nobody can kill us. And when you merge your ships, the power-ups exponentially gets bigger. Like the Hades beam, it's only like the size of your ship, and you know, it goes straight out and kills all the enemies in its path. But when you got, like, you know, the four-man ship, it's basically the size of the screen, and you know, you pick up power-ups along the way as you kill enemies and stuff. It's pretty cool. It adds a whole new element to the game along with the merging the ships. So it's really cool. Another thing this game does right is the achievements. The achievements is done perfectly in this game. It feeds you along achievements, so you know you want to keep on getting them. It's not, you know, you get all the achievements at the end of the game, or the achievements are impossible to get. They're perfectly paced and they're really well gamer scored or whatever. All right, so you know this game's really cool. It shows off, you know, what Xbox Live should be able to do. A game that by yourself sucks, but with a bunch of people rocks. You don't even need a mic to play with it, so you don't have to worry about jerks and stuff. You can, because the game's so simple. It's only a 2D shooter. I just think it's great that Microsoft will give us a free game every once in a while. You know, the last time they did it was with Texas Hold'em, but you know, we kind of deserve it. You know, with all these consoles breaking and whatnot. Yeah, and I don't think they could have done it with a better arcade game, too. It really shows off what Xbox Live can do and what the Xbox Live Arcade is, you know, meant to do. So, I think it's really cool. All in all, it's a good game. If it's still free, go download it. It's definitely worth it. You can get some free achievement points. I'll see you guys later. This is Riz Pable signing out. See ya.
Thanks, Riz. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Nice review.
Very cool. Look forward to playing more of that game, actually. It's really fun in multiplayer.
Yeah. I played it for a few minutes.
Cool. And I love the part of it yet. I'm kind of disappointed. It's the best part of any game.
Absolutely.
But speaking of things that aren't free, have you guys registered, or have you guys reserved your copies of Halo 3 already?
Not yet.
Because I was just thinking, I haven't. And I was saying, you know, maybe we should remind everyone else that they probably should too.
Yes. Yeah, go out there. September 25th is the release date. It's been made official by Bungie. So September 25th, 2007, the world is going to change once again the way it did when Halo 2 came out. People are going to be calling in sick. Taking days off.
See, calling in sick is just, that's bad planning. You should have your vacation requested already.
Yeah, really. Yeah, which I'm planning on doing. And I'm hoping that, you know, maybe this, you know, a little release party somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Fumo Jive can attend, you know what I
mean? Yeah, definitely have already taken the vacation day off. In fact, I had this little plan too, because I you know, work in a technological establishment, and we all play games and Gears of War and all that kind of thing. It was a huge hit. So I actually, before I went out and told everybody that it had been announced at midnight the night before, I actually went and requested my vacation first.
cool. Yeah, no, it's you know, it's gonna be great, because I mean, September is not that far away, so. Start reserving your copies.
All right, well, wrapping things up here, you can send in your comments, etc., to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions, like the stuff we've been reading the show, to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Call-In show. And guys, you've been playing the beta, so sending a lot of stuff about the beta.
Yeah.
And be sure to check out Potecular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's a lot of buzz about the Halo 3, Halo 2 Vista, and the new Halo 2 maps, and other stuff.
Sure is. For those that play Halo PC, by the way, we have two new, relatively new, Halo Custom Edition servers up. Those server names are available on the Podtacular forums. Thanks to Shadowlore, Duststorm, and the rest of the Halo PC crew at Podtacular for making these things happen.
Arcade Wizard wants to host a Podtacular Northwest LAN party. He lives in Portland, Oregon. Anyone in that area might want to attend and party up there or help out in organizing it. Email us at podtacular@gmail.com.
Yeah, and thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site, contributing to our PayPal and helping out with the hosting bill, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you guys.
And be sure to check out the rest of the guys from the Gamercast Network at GamercastNetwork.com, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer Radio, and The Video Game Show.
Yeah. Until next time, guys, I'm Fubo Jive.
Video Game Show. Oh, this is JVB.
And this is Tally.
And Tally, and you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I do have to say something. I have to give a big shout out to my baby daddy.
Right. My baby daddy.
We'll keep on fragging trucks, guys.
Keep on fragging man cannons.
Actually, how about we put a trip mine in the man cannon?
Yeah, right?
Nobody go over there because I got a trip mine.
Boom! Betrayal.
I told you not to go over there!
Triple betrayal.
I know. Oh, real quick, on Valhalla, I had gotten blown up by a grenade. My body... half of my legs went through the level, mm-hmm. on top of the base, and went through the glass. So, my torso was sticking up as I died. So I was laughing, and I respawned, and it was still sticking out. So I meleeed it. It bounced backwards, bounced back up. So I'm showing my son, and he's cracking up, dude. And my teammate's like, "What are you doing? Just meleeing that body?" So I'm like, "Look, dude!" And it kept bouncing up and down. So me and him kept doing it.
Dude, that reminds me. Actually, this one time I was on high ground recently, and I went around the corner by the tube, mm-hmm. you know. And I went around to the part where you enter the tube from the offense. And as soon as I ran around that corner, there was this guy standing there. But he was dead, and he was, like, standing straight up.
Yeah, he hangs up there. They hang there. That's the animation when they die.
If you get killed in there, you just kind of, like, lean against something, and you don't fall over because of, like, the way the architecture is there. So it was like, what the crap?
So you're shooting it right, like, yeah, boom, baby, boom.
It's like this guy kind of fell asleep standing
die.
Up.
Die!
Modern, dude.
Modern.
Well, thank you for joining us, Tally.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a blast.
There's only one thing left to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let's try that part again.
I know. Well, yeah, cool. Yeah.
All
right.
Raw.
Raw. I think I'm going to throw that in there. I'm going to throw that one in there. Woof, woof.
Okay. And we'd like to wish Gamertag Radio
100th episode. A big congratulations.
Yeah, and you guys rock.
Hopefully, we'll be able to.
Dude, our dumbass. Oh, man. Okay, let's... let's start it. I'm like...
You know, it was, like, noticeable. But whatever. Mm-hmm. It's cool now. So.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, brother.
Speaking of noticeable... GamerCast Network.com